Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOA, CAGA, PASLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, HAPA, MOUSC.
Or Donald Duck.
I could always do the, but I could never, I used to know guys that could make that, you know, they'd bitch.
The words.
Yeah, they'd bitch. Oh, my God. If you ever want to hear something really funny, it's probably on YouTube. I've never seen it, but it's got Donald Duck having sex. It's hilarious. I can't even tell you more about it. No.
No,
if you heard
it
once, you'd think it was hilarious. You'd post a link to it on Facebook.
Bruce, about 80% of the crap that you see, oh, you got to see this. I'm like, whatevs, after I see it. Why do you waste all that time watching all that crap?
Because he has all that time.
You saw the baby jamming out to Get the Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style? You mean Gangnam Style?
Gangnam Style, Gangnam.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
I don't know what it is either. But
that's
Chamberlain, Chameleon.
Caribbean, Caribbean, potato, potato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Harassment, harassment.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
The one that's been getting us lately is the thrift shop song.
Oh, geez, don't start that. I don't want to get stuck in my head again, please.
I don't know if you heard this song. This guy, basically the thing in the song is that this guy goes out clubbing, but he really has no money. He's got $20 in his pocket. He needs to go buy a wardrobe. So he goes to the thrift store, and he's buying, like, these kind of bizarre clothes. And everyone at the club's like, oh, dude, you look banging in that. You know, you're a cool-ass honky. And he's...
You're pimping, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, he's pimping. He says he bought a shirt, but it smelled like R. Kelly's sheets. He says, but it was only 99 cents.
It's the sax line, the saxophone. Yep. I think it's the saxophone. Maybe it's the clarinet. I'm not sure. But it's that line. Dun, 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 that noise that it makes, that is the hook. That's what gets you. Because other than without that sax line, it's just an average rap song.
He says, I'll wear your grandpa's clothes. I look incredible. This is effing awesome. Anyway.
Yes.
It was just a little bantering. Banter, banter, banter.
Banter, banter.
Anything spectacular happening for anyone? Shelly's about to get a huge promotion tomorrow. By the time this show goes up, Shelly's going to be raking in the dough.
That's
and
no,
the benefits.
It's not really a promotion. It's an interim full-time position with benefits. That may turn into something else, or at the end of the interim period, I may end up back at my 30-hour-a-week job. So
never happens.
But it would be nice to have the benefits in the meantime so we can actually
Shelley's
go to
the only
doctor.
Person at the Covina Public Library that can do every function at the Covina Public Library.
Well, not every function. I don't make the brochures and the posters and stuff.
You could.
No, because I'm not a graphic artist.
My guess is the person doing it's not a graphic artist either. You get a thing like CorelDRAW or something, you don't have to be. That's the shame these days. Like Photoshop, which used to be like this really high-end, hard-to-work program, there's stuff you can do online on these online picture things where you can do all the hard functions on Photoshop with the click of a button. Just like if they're clicking on recovery101.net. Oh, by the way, Shelly, if I needed a meeting, if I needed a mover, what should
Apparently
I be doing?
You do.
You made the food. I don't know what you put in it.
I didn't make it. It was cup of noodles. I stuck hot water.
Poured water in it, and we watched
but
her do it.
But was it water?
You watched
her
do
it. Came
out of the thingy.
Came out of the thingy.
Yeah.
It was thingy water.
Thingy water.
Thingy water. That sounds rude.
So if someone needed a meeting.
Then they should go to a meeting. Because this is not a meeting. This is for entertainment purposes only.
I disagree. Two or more gathered together. In his name, by the way.
This is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, but everything that goes on in my head is for entertainment purposes only.
Exactly.
There you go.
And this is what's going on in our head. So it's really just for entertainment. This might even... In terms of the entertainment world, what's going on in our heads could, you know, we're verging on a horror film here. You know, Stephen King.
A virgin in a horror film?
Verging on
That's exactly what it sounded like to me. I'm like, is she
a virgin in a horror film.
Is she running through the sprinklers in her underwear?
No, we're verging on.
We're the Connie Swale of the...
Yeah.
Yikes.
My favorite thing in a movie is, I think the original Scary Movie where, like, Carmen Electra's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the guy's in the house calling her, and she has to run outside, and she's in, like, her underwear, and suddenly the sprinklers all come on, and she's, like, running in slow motion to the sprinklers. I'm like, yeah.
Screaming, yes.
So they need a meeting.
Yes, they should put on their little shoesies, get in their car, or take a bus, or walk, or call someone to get a ride.
Call
your sponsor.
Call a friend. Dial a date.
And go to a meeting. Get away from the keyboard. Go to a meeting.
And if you can't get away from the keyboard, why don't you get on a regular keyboard and tap us out a little jingle for Recovery Idol? You know, it's got it can be a full song, or it could be a thing like what Sober College did for us. You know, Recovery 101 Internet Radio. You can do it. Could be whatever. It's got to say Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio in it. We're just that narcissistic. If you want to put our names in it, feel free.
Yes, but just because you put our names in it doesn't mean that you will be the chosen one.
But you have a much better chance.
Yeah, well, we don't have any to choose from yet.
That's
now
true.
You have a really good chance.
Yeah, you got a super good chance.
Pretty much right
now,
if you send in a jingle, you're the man.
Matter of fact,
woman.
You know what? We have a friend who listens to this show sometimes, John the Hebrew. On Facebook, shout out to John, and he's left some comments once in a while. He plays guitar.
Yeah, so John, what's the deal?
What's the deal, John?
Get off the stick, John.
Yeah, belly up, come on.
I have to remember sometime when I put it up and say, John, we talk about you in this show. So make sure and listen. Get on it.
And he actually posts some pretty insightful
blogs
on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
And he tags me in them so I can read them.
He posts good comments every now and then on the site, too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. John?
Yeah.
Get her done. By the way, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okie dokie, Maniscokie. Let's see, where are we now?
Laguna Beach.
We are...
It's been quite chilly.
Yeah, right.
We're in the studios.
Okay, you guys know what an HOA is, right? Homeowners Association?
Yes.
Yes, the the suburban Nazis.
Suburban Nazis.
Well, there are quite a few feuds.
Mine condo.
There are quite a few feuds that have started over various... petty regulations. And apparently, this is back east, Fairfax County. I'm not sure where, but it's back east.
Sounds like Virginia.
A place, yeah. It could be because the place is called Old Bellhaven.
Ooh.
A dispute over a political sign in someone's front yard.
Yes.
Has cost the HOA $400,000 to the point where they are going to have to sell off the little park attached to the community. Because they have to cover their legal fees.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put a strip club in there.
The dispute? Now, apparently, residents, you know, you're allowed to put up a political sign. I mean, that's your free speech right under the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And the HOA was not disputing that, but they said that the sign was 4 inches too large. That was the four-year dispute. $500,000, 4 years.
And they lost. Because of the free speech.
Yes. 4 inches, they said the sign was too big. I'm like, give me a break. 4 inches and you're going to have a beef about that? A sign that's only there for a few weeks. Yikes.
Yup.
Became 4 years.
one of the neighbors who originally wrote to the HOA complaining about this said, "This could lead to chaos. Our property values are at risk."
Jeez.
Obviously, from the other party.
their property values are at risk now because there will no longer be a park.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a strip club.
No, wait, what was this?
Called
the pig pen. Oh, okay. Mark may know about this guy. His name is Mark Roberts. He is in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the world's most prolific streaker. He has...
Why would Mark know this?
Because he does this at, like, games, like sporting games and stuff. Like, you know, like football, not basketball.
Yeah, they usually don't show
them. He's from Liverpool in the U.K.,
okay.
But he goes all over the place and will streak through games. He actually started making money on it because after he'd done it a few times, companies started calling him saying, "Hey, if you're going to streak at this game, we'll give you X amount of dollars to like write our company name on your chest or
butt
or whatever."
What's the one? The Vegas. What's the casino? They're always putting stuff on like people's
Golden
heads.
GoldenPalace.com.
Yeah, Golden Palace.
Yeah, on bald people's heads, they'll paint it.
Yeah, there was one boxer that was so bad they asked if they could advertise on the bottoms of his shoes so everybody could see it.
Nice.
Oh, jeez. So anyway, he has streaked a total of 519 times.
Wow.
This guy has an issue.
He has decided to... What would you hang up if you were a streaker?
Balls.
Your balls.
He's decided to stop. He said that he's tired of his children. His children are starting to laugh at him and make jokes.
You think?
Good point.
And that gravity is not being kind to him. He's developed a bit of a belly in recent years.
If it's the guy I'm thinking, because there's a guy that I've seen probably a couple videos of that look like it's the same guy, and now that I hear this guy, it probably is. But he used to be kind of thin.
Yeah, tall and thin. Yeah, well, not so much anymore. And his kids are starting to point and laugh, so he decided it was time to
now
stop
streaking.
Now you
can put multiple advertisements on.
Yeah, if the women start to point and laugh, that's when it's time to hang it up.
Hang it up for sure.
He has gotten a contract for his autobiography, which he's currently writing.
What?
The title is, "I Didn't Know an Inch Would Take Me This Far."
Wow. I don't even want to
they call in the streak.
Yeah. Diggity, diggity. Or
fastest,
is it boogity, boogity? It's boogity, boogity.
Fastest man on 2 feet.
Yes.
Wow, I haven't heard that song. Who was that?
Don't remember.
Ray Stevens.
Yeah, he did a bunch of stuff like that, right?
Yeah, a lot of novelty songs. All right, let's see. In San Bernardino, you know, they've got a fairly serious drug problem and gang problem.
On E Street.
Yeah, in San Bernardino. But
I know.
For some reason, the powers that be have decided that their real problem is panhandling. So they're retraining the entire police force to handle panhandlers. No, let's forget about the gangs and the drugs and all the other problems we've got. You know, people are dying out here. Let's target the people on the freeway off-ramps that are asking for change.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is their new direction. And actually, the people of San Bernardino have said that this is their number one problem. It's so bad, yes, that in a city survey, that was their number one concern.
Because they're all smoking meth.
The panhandlers are the people that are being asked for money?
The people.
Oh.
Like, we can't afford to give you any money. I'm smoking meth.
That's right. Yeah, get rid of the panhandlers. Why don't you leave my dope dealer alone?
Exactly.
I want my E Street back.
I went out there once when I was a sales rep, and there's mattress. It seems like there's a lot of mattress stores along unsavory areas.
Yes.
And I stop, and this guy tells me, I go inside, and he goes, "Did you lock your car?" I'm like, "I think so." He goes, "You better go check." And I'm like, "What?" I go outside. There's like crack dealers in the street out in front of this guy's store dealing dope right next to these streetwalkers. I'm like, "Wow, dude." I'm like, "Why don't you rent your beds out for like a half hour?"
Yikes.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Let's see. In Carmel, California.
Isn't that Clint's town?
Yes. Carmel, California, the Pinecone newspaper, the Carmel Pinecone, it's the name of their little newspaper or whatever, has added fuel to a fire that started when there was a private party at a restaurant called the Vesuvio Restaurant in downtown Carmel.
Vesuvio?
Vesuvio. They had a private party that was booked in there, that was had paid and was booked in there. The party was charging $50 a person to go to a lingerie fashion show and dinner.
I'm there.
And it was supposed to be like this little upscale kind of a thing or whatever. Now, at the town council meeting, one of the residents, her name is Carolyn Hardy, she tried to get the city leaders to put the kibosh on this lingerie party, saying that it lowered the tone of Carmel. But it's at a private establishment, and it's a private party that paid for the room. I mean, you know, there's no real reason why
right.
they can kick them out. Nobody's naked. They're in lingerie. She went up to the microphone and said that the models that are going to be modeling this lingerie are sluts and whores.
Oh.
Ooh.
Lawsuit. Defamation of character.
Well, it gets worse.
Definition of character.
She said, I find this appalling for our village community. The city did not agree.
Why is she there?
She's a resident at a town council meeting and
oh.
expressing her concern over the fact that this party was going
to take. Oh, I thought she went up to the microphone during the event. Ooh.
No. At the city council meeting. Called them sluts and whores. The city decided that she was not correct. They had no legal grounds to tell this private property owner what he could do with his property.
That's right.
Declined to intervene. The newspaper, who reports on all the city council things, discussed this issue in their paper. And in the photograph of the models, and actually the photograph is quite demure. They show the picture of the models wearing the little slinky lingerie, like nightgowns and stuff like that. To me, it wasn't any worse than you'd see on a Victoria's Secret billboard.
Well, they sell lingerie, so...
Yeah, yeah, and that's out in public. But underneath, or right above the picture, you know how you have the jump, you go to the jump page for the rest of the story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The tag said, Sluts, page 4, right over the model.
Nice.
So now, the models, who are actual models, you know, runway models, they get paid for this, said that their character has been defamed because
Absolutely.
The newspaper
Right.
has labeled them sluts.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So now they've, you know, now things are really in a kerfluffle.
They're suing, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Two of the models have already filed.
They should.
And they're
winning. They should win. Congratulations, ma'am. You just cost the taxpayers a ton of money.
Yeah.
In your little village.
Yes. Just because you were upset.
It takes a village to raise a slut.
Yeah. Yeah, which copy editor let the word sluts over the top of some women
exactly.
go?
Yeah, they're going to lose their job.
I would be suing the paper.
Yikes. Let's see. Oh, remember how we talked about the Python Challenge down in?
Florida.
Yes, that they were going to let like 1,500 people loose with guns out in the Florida.
Oh, yeah, to go hunting for pythons.
Yeah.
Hunt these pythons. Well, the Python Challenge is now over. It went on for a month. The kill count was 50. Now,
a month hunting pythons, they only got 50?
Yes, and
so
a lot of the hunters are crying foul, saying that, you know, Florida had said they had this huge problem. They had hundreds of thousands of pythons that were wrecking their ecosystem, and they only caught 50. They only killed 50. Now, what's the quote? Let's see. A snake researcher at the University of Florida said that the reason people aren't catching that many is they don't have a clue where to look. Look at all the yahoos coming down here. Apparently, most of the people that went on the Great Python Challenge were from out of state, where they're used to catching game that isn't below ground sometimes or up, you know, like...
I don't think pythons go below ground.
Well, whatever. They didn't have to come out in the sun much because the temperatures were so high. So they were hiding wherever it is that pythons hide, and the, I'm quoting here, yahoos didn't know where to find them.
Yahoo!
Okay, now let's see.
I don't know, man. I don't like to hunt things that could kill me.
We only have two more stories. We're kind of over time, but we'll go ahead and do
it
because
go for it.
They're
kind of
good. This one is from the UK.
Fuck.
Sarah Jane Holm, 41 years old.
It's a drug thing.
Three names.
Actually, she's not. She was totally sober. Didn't drink or anything. Although she is challenged.
Why is this interesting?
Why is
because
she challenged?
Because she was hit with a lot of criticism
okay.
from parent groups and...
she a lingerie model?
And she's 41 years old. She has a 4-month-old infant. So she obviously just got a late in life like, you know, change of life baby. She also has two grown children. One of her children is a musician in a band and was playing at a rave. So she wanted to support her daughter, who's this musician in this thing, so she wanted to go to this rave, but she's not going to dump her kid just wherever. So what she did was she bought some of those headphones that block out all the noise, mm-hmm. and put them on the four-month-old, strapped him in his little carrier on her chest, and went and watched her daughter perform, and then went home.
Okay.
I didn't see anything wrong with that. However, a journalist snapped a picture of this woman at the rave with a baby with these giant headphones on, published it in the paper, so now the social workers came, people are calling her and screaming at her and saying what a horrible parent she is, blah, blah, blah.
Kid's 4 months old.
4 months old, slept through the entire thing because those things block out all the noise, didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
She was worried about his eardrums getting hurt by the noise. I think that was responsible. She didn't drink. I mean, she just went to hear her daughter play.
Watched her
no
kid.
No big deal. Okay, the reason why she's challenged, she has a four-month-old child. She named it Django.
The D silent?
Yes. Just like the movie. She named it Django.
Can't. You want to.
What?
Can't.
No.
What?
No.
What's the next story?
Have you seen a picture of her?
Oh, yeah. I saw a picture of her and the baby. It's a cute baby.
What does she look like?
I don't know. Well, I mean, she's got longish, sort of blondish, brownish hair and with a little bit of gray.
Oh, okay.
The kid's cute.
Okay.
Little red hair.
Okay. No, we're good. She's blonde.
Mostly, yeah, sort of dishwater blonde.
Okay.
Why?
Nothing.
But why would you name your kid Django?
I don't know.
That's just wrong on so many levels.
There you go.
Poor kid's going to get the crap beaten out of him in the playground.
Maybe it's better than Jenga. I don't know.
Isn't that that game with the bricks? The
yes.
wooden bricks? Oh, okay. Okay, this one, I don't even know what to think about this story.
Did
I don't know whether.
Wooden bricks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what to think about the story. I don't know whether to laugh or, I don't know. In Cleveland.
Oh, there you go. That tells you enough right there. It's freaking Cleveland.
Okay.
The only place where they set the river on fire.
Samuel Mullet.
Mullet?
Yeah, Samuel Mullet.
Like the hairstyle?
Yes.
This is already good.
He is Amish.
Samuel Mullet, the Amish guy.
He's 67 years old.
Wait. Let me stop you for 1 second.
What?
Clip clop, clip clop, clip clop, bang bang bang, clip clop, clip clop, clip clop. Amish drive by.
Yes. Okay. Now that we're done with that joke, he's 67 years old. He has been sentenced to 15 years in prison.
Life sentence.
Basically, for him, that is a life sentence.
Why?
Because he. Cut off people's beards.
Ooh.
Is he a barber?
No. Apparently.
Did they want them cut off?
No.
Oh, well.
Okay.
That's a problem. Probably assault at the very least.
Well, apparently it is a huge deal to cut your hair. The Amish, once the children reach a certain age, they don't cut their hair. Amish women never cut their hair. It grows down below their butt. The guys never cut their beards. They do trim their hair on their head, but they don't cut their beards. They claim in the Bible it says that men need to grow beards and women need to grow their hair really long.
I've never heard that
in
the Bible.
I didn't know that either. But apparently it is a fairly extreme like punishment to cut someone's beard. And he is accused of having, you know, people didn't do what he said or didn't follow his instructions as an elder in the community. So he would have his children go in, hold them down, and cut their beards.
Oh. Now we know why he's going to jail.
15 years, though?
It's assault. How many times did he do it? I mean, he could have 50 cases of assault.
Several times.
No.
He'll be okay. He'll get the job at the prison as the barber.
Yeah.
The barber. Apparently, he was accused of terrorizing his victims.
You hold somebody down while you're cutting off a religious symbol on their body? That's terrorism.
Yeah. It's like, what was the... It used to be a big thing in China where you'd have the very, very, very long pigtail.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was that someone would cut it off, and that would be like the most horrifying thing that could happen to you.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Well, at any rate, that's the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
We are.
Thanks for showing up, Shelley.
Thanks for being a part of.
I live here. I didn't become a captive audience.
We live in the studio. Well, sometimes we do, but, you know, that's only when we can't pay rent. Don't forget PayPal.
Oh, jeez.
So we have a topic.
We do.
We do. Shelley, go, baby, go. Wow, you know what? There's a helicopter flying over, and Shelley made kind of this weird face, and I just, and I thought, she's farting.
No, that wasn't me. That was a helicopter.
Wow.
Recovery is the rest of your life. Treatment is emergency intervention. Don't confuse the two.
So treatment's not recovery?
No.
How come?
It's just not. You go there, you sober up. They throw a little, they might throw a little program at you. They might not. Who knows? And then they turn you loose.
I would hope they do a better job.
The Loverboy song.
Got to do it my way.
Or no way at all. It took me a second there.
I know.
I couldn't remember what the next word was. Well, could it be said that it depends on the facility? Because certainly while treatment is not recovery overall, for many people it could definitely be an integral part in early recovery.
It might be the on-ramp to the road.
Yeah. On-ramp to the recovery highway. Where, of course, I can't drive 55.
Rocking down the highway.
You come up with a bunch of...
official eye roll.
Shelly's ready to beat her head into the microphone.
Just don't stop driving that hot rod, Lincoln. So what do you think, Mark? Treatment and recovery. Is treatment recovery, or is recovery treatment?
No, treatment is not recovery. Treatment is a version of what Shelley said. It's, you know, you're getting treated. You are getting taken care of for any affliction. Once you are done with treatment, I would suggest you start going to meetings, start working the steps, and get into the road to recovery.
What do you think, Shel?
I don't know what you think. You have a tendered an opinion.
My opinion is that certainly treatment is not recovery, because if it was, you would have to stay in a treatment center all the time. However, I have mixed emotions on the treatment center thing, because I went to a bunch of treatment centers.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
They all introduced me to the 12 steps. They all introduced me to meetings. They all tried to attempt to get me to do the right thing and get in recovery. And really, that's all that they said they were intended to do. We're here to give you a, what's the term I'm looking for, Shelley? A
foundation.
A foundation.
Introduction.
We're here to give you a foundation on which to go out and build recovery. We're going to tell you about meetings. We're going to talk to you a little about what it's like, you know, why, you know, your problems with being a drug addict, alcoholic. For new people, we're here to let you know that you're not the only one, and that now that you're trying to figure out what to do with your life, we're going to steer you in the direction that you need to go. Now, I never really ended up going in that right direction, and the last time I got sober, I did not go to treatment. But it could be said that that seed was planted for me many right. times before, and I had just not watered it. But eventually, when I got sober, I didn't go to any treatment facility at all. Of course, someone told me once, what you need to do is do what they told you to do at the first treatment center you went to. That whole work the steps, get a sponsor, go to meetings, and don't get loaded. So that's my opinion on treatment centers. I think that for some people they're extremely valuable, and for other people you don't need them. I don't think anyone really needs it if they went to meetings and did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
The problem is tons of people don't do that. And another problem is there's lots of parents and relatives and employers that will send people to treatment centers because they really want to help their significant others and family members and employees get help, and that's the only thing they know to do. Most normies are not really familiar with what AA and ACA and EDAs are about, so they send you to a facility because it's a drug recovery facility or it's an alcohol recovery facility, and I think there's a lot of people that they put their kid in there, they put their wife or husband in there, and then they're entirely shocked to find out that at the end of 28 days, that's not it.
Yeah, that they're not well.
Yeah, they're not better now?
Yeah.
Wait, he used to go out to the bar every night, now he's at meetings every night. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, he's not crashing your car anymore.
Yeah. We paid you $28,000 for this?
Yeah. For a big book?
Yeah.
Now they don't even give you a big book.
I know.
Necessarily.
What's that?
Yeah, that was quite shocking to me when I had a momentary sponsee called me from her recovery center, where I know they used to give them big books. And when I told her to read the doctor's opinion, she didn't know what that was. When I told her, well, go ask the nurse for the big book. Well, so she goes away, she comes back. They don't have any. What is a big book?
They didn't even have one for reference.
Nope. And she was in the... And she was in the 28-day residential. They didn't even have one. They do, however, have these handy-dandy little notebooks that they hand out with their version of what they're supposed to be writing for the first three steps, which isn't even in the big book.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. But you know what? That's the thing is, you know... A 12-step program is not the only way to recover. You know, I just don't think... I think that, you know, if you go into one of those places, you get spun dry, and if you don't have a place to go afterwards, if you are an alcoholic or an addict like us, you're not going to last long.
Well, what do you think about this? I'll put this to both of you guys. Are they worthwhile? I mean, certainly not to everybody, but, you know, there's a lot of people that get sober in recovery homes or facilities that stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
And they do get that foundation. They do go to recovery. So what do you think about that?
They're worthwhile.
I was going to say, I don't want to make the question too hard now.
Okay. You know, I mean, I'll talk about one in particular, and we'll talk about them because they're a sponsor of our show.
Oh, New Way.
Yeah. I go over to New Way Foundation. I take somebody over there. They don't necessarily give them a big book. Shelves of big books and 12 and 12s. Shelves of them.
Yeah.
If you need a book, help yourself. They're there for you. You know? It's one of the questions they ask. Do you need a big book? If you do, help yourself.
There you go.
And, you know, they're there. Everybody, all the counselors that I've met and that I know are all in the program. They have actual experience. They understand what it's like to be a drug addict, an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just a wealth of experience. And I like the place. Other places I go to, don't always see that.
Well, and there's a lot of different kinds of recovery centers, too. I mean, mm-hmm. you got ones like what you're talking about, New Way, where, you know, they're very 12-step oriented. Then there's going to be other ones that aren't. You know, certainly if you go to any of the, like, Christian recovery facilities,
mm-hmm.
they're a little, not that they're not in the 12 steps, but they're less on that than they are on the Bible. Or there'll be recovery hospitals that will handle it differently than, say, Impact House. When I went to Impact House, they didn't pull any punches. They just basically told you, you're an effed up idiot, and you need to listen to this stuff or you're going to die. And
yeah.
they had requirement of you. Well, they weren't as heavy on the big book. They're like,
yeah.
you want to have the NA basic text, and, you know, you need to go to meetings. You're going to die. We're going to have meetings here. You're going to do what we tell you, and all that kind of thing. I mean, they were down to the brass tacks of, you're a drug addict. You may not have even been living anywhere lately. So you know what? You're going to get up in the morning, and you are going to make your bed. I mean, it was down to the brass tacks. You're going to make your bed. You're going to wear clean clothes. You're going to do your laundry. I mean, it was, you know, you're going to comb your hair. I mean, that was a, they got down to really some brass tacks. And a lot of those guys needed that stuff.
Sure.
What do you think, Shell?
I don't know if I was recommending facilities for places for people. You know, I would probably go for like a New Way place or a Casa de las Amigas, something like that, where they have a good recovery foundation where the people that work there, like Mark said, have been through the mill.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate getting recovery. To me, getting recovery advice from someone who's not recovered is like going to a nun for sex advice.
That's true.
You know, it's unless the person that you're talking to understands how it feels to have that moment of desperation. Because to a normie, a person that's just working in the field that doesn't have the personal experience, somewhere in the back of their head, I can hear the little hamster wheel going, thinking, just stop. What's your problem? Just say no.
Yeah, just say no.
Right.
Thanks, Nancy.
Right. And they don't make the connection. They don't get it. So I would be more likely to send somebody to a program that goes on a 12-step basis and has experienced counselors. But at the same time, you know, up at our local hospital here at Charter, they specifically call it emergency intervention.
Yeah.
And they're very clear. You know, I was an inmate there twice on the loony bin side,
mm-hmm.
but because I hadn't gone out, but I had previous CD issues, so they would send me to some of the chemical dependency classes
mm-hmm.
just because I was there anyway. And they were very clear about that. This is emergency intervention. You're not expected to fully recover. You're going to need help later on,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they would help people get into sober livings or, mm-hmm. you know, get into post-care places.
Facilities.
The what?
Post-care facilities,
yes. I just think that, you know, like Bruce said, a lot of people think that you go into these places and they fix you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way it works.
It's 10 days,
yeah.
and a couple of weekends. A
couple of 2-day follow-ups. So.
Now, let me throw this out to you, because this is a thing that I know that we've all talked about before. Patients' Bill of Rights.
Yes.
I'm looking at these 28-day programs. They don't even have to go to a meeting. It's like if they told you that they decided they just didn't want to go, don't even make them go.
Yeah.
And when I was in a recovery center like at Las Encinas, you went no matter what. And if it was an NA meeting, you were a straight alcoholic, they didn't care. You went to whatever the 12-step meeting was that day. And they tested you when you came back, even if it was on the grounds.
Yeah.
You know, and you had no choice in the matter. I remember when I was in the detox part, which I didn't, you know, you don't even really detox, but there would be people, they'd take them over there in, like, their pajamas, you know. Hey, it's meeting time. Get up out of the bed. You're going over here to the meeting. What do you guys think of the patient Bill of Rights? Is it dumbing down the program, the watering it down too much?
Well, I understand the patient's Bill of Rights. But it does affect the program. And I think we brought this, the reason we originally brought this topic up a while back ago was, can you really experience recovery when you are basically locked into a safe environment where things are as sterile for you as possible as far as your recovery goes? Can you experience recovery without adversity?
Not really. But part of the purpose of being in the facility is because it gives you, you know, a month to get some physical clean time.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Because that's
a safe place.
Yeah.
That's a value. But it's not recovery.
No, it's not. Recovery is what happens to you after.
It's treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Recovery is what happens when you learn to meet calamity with serenity.
See, that would have been
great.
You know what?
Good.
Recovery
is a lot, don't I?
Yeah.
Recovery is what happens when you go to recovery101.net and click on a show.
No, not really.
You can't get this in any treatment center. That's right.
They won't let us in any treatment center.
Do you know that one time we'll corrupt the patients. One time at the PRISM Awards, I was talking to people. This is where I got Dr. Drew, and he was talking about his, you know, you're listening to this Dr. Drew, you're listening to Recovery 101. And I met the Surgeon General of the United States. And I went up to him and I said, hey, could you say, you know, you're listening to, you know, I'm so and so, the Surgeon General, you're listening to Recovery 101 radio? And he says, oh, yeah. And then a guy came up and like whispered in his ear, he goes, oh, I can't really do that. I'd have to listen to it first. I said, oh, no. Don't do that.
Don't bother.
Whatever you do, don't listen to it first. He goes, because I can't make it sound like the United States government is, like, backing you guys. I'm like, oh, don't listen.
Don't listen first. We don't want you to hear this, actually.
Yeah, don't listen to it first and then say you like us.
Yeah. Just sound like they'd be listening to this show.
Yeah, that's right. So, Shelley, what would your final words be after you just threw out a humdinger a minute ago?
And then the one at the beginning. Come on. I don't know. Good work.
Pull a third magic rabbit out of your hat.
I have no more magic.
Okay, Mark.
Your recovery starts at the exit.
Oh, man.
Shelley.
I'm supposed to follow that up. I don't know. I got nothing now. If you're in a facility, well, you wouldn't be listening to this if you were in the facility.
They won't let you.
They won't let you listen to it. Okay, if you're listening to the show because you're wondering if you have a problem, you know what? If you think you need to go into a facility, go into a facility. That's great. But don't expect that to be the end. You need to get out there and actually do the work, you know.
Just do it.
Just do it, yeah, like a Nike ad.
The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single footstep. If it happens to be in a treatment center, great. If it happens to be at a meeting, great. You're on your way down the broad highway, which, by the way, is my favorite highway. Shelley.
Yes?
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark, if someone's listening to the show.
We really appreciate that you're listening to the show.
Yes,
we ask if you are listening to by some method other than going to our site, would you please go to recovery101.net and click on one of the current shows. At that point, if you've not yet joined Podomatic, we ask that you join Podomatic. That way you can participate on the site.
Yeah.
You can like the shows. You can leave comments. You can put us in playlists. You can follow. And we really appreciate that. And it's good to know you're out there. Thanks.
You can actually send us... We prefer it to be in a comment on a recent show because we'll always see the comments on the last show that's up. So that's where we got a couple of our topics that we did the last couple shows. You can also, actually, if you want, you can email us a topic within Podomatic as well. That's okay, too.
Sure.
We have email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. That's where you're going to send your recovery idol jingle, John the Hebrew. and we will play it. And then we'll, if they're ones we really like, we'll check them out and we'll put them in the rotation with Brandon, Teddy, and Courtney. You can join the Crack Advertising staff or get advertising and get advertising questions answered at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelly?
Yes?
You know what I'm going to ask you?
Electra. Oh, no. Did I do that in the last show?
I don't know.
No, you did Evelove on the last show.
Okay, then that's Electra.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I've been to the end, and I have pictures to show all of my friends. I've been all alone, and I've been desperate and searching for something.